Guys, excited to share the word that the Lord has given me tonight, and first of all, I'd just like to pray in another minute, place of prayer. So Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your presence. Thank you that you have drawn us near, that you have called us into your embrace, that you have given us life, that you have given us hope. Yes, Jesus, you are the author of hope. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, God. We love you and we trust you and we thank you, Jesus, for the greatest blessing of your nearness, God, of your presence. Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would anoint this word, God. May you anoint me as I proclaim your gospel. May you give me grace to proclaim your words with clarity and with boldness, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. So yeah, what I want to speak tonight is, How's that? Better? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hi. Wow. And so, what I want to share tonight is, so what does it mean to have a blessing? What does it mean to be blessed? And so what I want to go into is, I want to examine the meaning of the word, and then I want to ask the question, what's the greatest blessing we can receive, right? And how do we receive it? So, for those of you who don't know my story, I grew up Amish, and there was a time in my life when, I think it was like 17, 18, and just super hungry, just yearning for the truth, searching and asking questions that I didn't even realize I was asking, because I didn't even know how to ask them, but I was asking, my heart was asking them. I was pondering the truth, and I was searching for meaning, right? I was searching for vision, searching for purpose, looking for a place of belonging, so to speak. And what I kept hearing over and over again was, you've got to have a blessing, right? You've got to have the blessing, or you got to strive for the blessing. And I just kept thinking, like, what is the blessing? What am I supposed to strive for? And what I want to share tonight is the meaning behind that, and yeah, a bunch of stuff that I feel like the Lord wants to impart to us tonight. So, the word blessed, what does it mean? What does it pertain to? The dictionary, Webster's dictionary, has a couple different meanings, and one of them is happiness. Those who are blessed have happiness, right? They have joy, they have peace, they are content, they're happy. Right? And even the Beatitudes. It's interesting if you're blessed are the ones who do this or have this attitude. It's interesting if you put happy in them. Happy are the ones who have this attitude, who have this in their heart, right? So, another meaning is God's favor or gift. The grace of God, the gift of God. And another question I always had growing up was, what's the big idea with a blessing? It's just a blessing, right? It's just somebody wishing you goodness, happiness in life. What's the big deal? Like, why do we have this fuss about earning the blessing or losing the blessing or like Esau did, throwing it away, if you will, or considering it in vain? So, what I want to examine tonight is the world's definition and then also God's definition of the word blessing. So, what does the world say that the meaning of the word blessing is? Or what does our carnal hearts, what do our carnal hearts yearn for when they think of a blessing? And what comes to mind is prosperity. Sometimes we see somebody who is rich, wealthy, fancy cars, fancy clothes. We're like, wow, God has blessed that person. God has blessed that person with comfort. He has blessed him, you know, with a roof over his head, a bed, food to eat, clothes to wear, or lack of problems, or lack of issues. You know, if my life is really easy, then I'm blessed. Or you might ask somebody, hey, how are you doing today? And they're like, oh, I'm blessed. Well, what makes the cause behind the blessed? Or behind the blessing? And, you know, the world says a blessing is money, success, prestige, fame, honor, power, right? And, you know, even in and of themselves, these are blessings. But they can also be a false blessing. So I want to go to Revelation. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation 3, chapter 17. And this is where Jesus is giving the vision to the disciple John, and he's talking to the church in Laodicea, right? So, chapter 3, verse 17 says this: You said, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. So, right, the world's meaning is, I have comfort, I have food, I have clothing. I have everything I want. I am rich beyond measure. I have need of nothing. And yet, when we look at God's perspective, in the same verse, he says, you don't need a thing, and yet you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's not really what we think of when we think of a blessing, right? That's not really, miserable and wretched is not really what we would describe as somebody being blessed. So, with that, I want to go to Genesis chapter 27, where the context is so the context for this verse is, so Isaac is turning old and turning blind, and he calls for Esau, his older son, and says, I want to bless you, because my time is almost over here, and I want to give you a blessing. So, and this is the biblical concept of a blessing, which I found this really fascinating. There's so much in here, there's so much that I feel like we have lost as 21st century people, citizens that live in our day and in our time. So I want to turn to Genesis chapter 27, and starting at verse 25. So we see that Isaac wanted to bless his oldest son, but his wife wanted the younger son to be blessed. And so they have this big thing where they decide to deceive Jacob or deceive Isaac to bring the blessing to Jacob. So verse 25, then Isaac said, now my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I will give you my blessing. So Jacob took the food to his father, and Isaac ate it. He also drank the wine that Jacob served him. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come a little closer and kiss me, my son. So Jacob went over and kissed him, and when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors which the Lord has blessed. Any honors out there bombing for November? See all the outdoors, huh? Yeah. Come on. Oh, yeah. Right here, I think I would have gotten along well with Isaac. But anyway. So, verse 27. So Jacob went over and kissed it. And when Isaac, I read that already. So, and here's the blessing. Verse 28. From the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. So we see that the biblical blessing is in at least one manner similar to the worldly one, in that it will give you prosperity to a certain extent, right? And God always give you abundant harvest of rain and bountiful new wine, but at least the blessing implies, or it says, I wish this upon you. So, and verse 29 says, may many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed. So we see that another aspect to it is authority and power. So the firstborn's right was to reign over his brothers, his children. Another one of his rights was to carry the family name, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He carried the family name. He carried the prestige and the honor that came with the Abrahamic covenant, and also the privilege to enter into the Abrahamic covenant, which Esau lost, right? He did not gain it because he considered it vanity. And what's interesting to me is when Esau realized that he had lost the blessing. And I always, you know, why did he, if it's just a small thing, it's just this kind of, you know, unknown or like small wished upon thing that they always do, like why did he react in such a heavy manner when he realized that he had lost? And it says, when Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry, oh my father, what about me? Bless me too, babe. And then in verse 38 it says, then Esau broke down and wept. And when you look at the biblical concept of blessing, or anyway how they did it in Hebrew culture, in that day and in that time, like this is a big deal. The firstborn gets to have twice as much as all of his brothers and sisters. He gets a double portion of the land, he gets a double portion of his father's slaves, he gets a double portion of everything that his father owns, and he gets to carry the family name. Pretty cool stuff, huh? Like, you just lost a pretty big deal, right? And especially in this case, because not only do you lose all that, you also lose the inheritance of the covenant blessing that Abraham had. He lost the promise of God's presence. And that takes me into next part. So Jacob gets the blessing, right? Jacob receives the blessing, he's anointed. And in verse 28, or just to paraphrase the rest of the passage there, Esau plots to kill him once Isaac is dead, saying, I'm going to take out my brother once my father is dead, and once the time of mourning is past, I'm going to have my revenge. And once again, their mom hears about it. I think she had quite a habit of eavesdropping, the way it seems. And anyway, she goes to Isaac and tells him to send Jacob away to their uncle Laban. And so in verse 3 of chapter 28, it says, may God Almighty bless you and give you many children, and may your descendants multiply and become many nations. May God pass on to you and your descendants the blessings he promised to Abraham. There we have again Abraham's covenant, right? May you earn this land where you're now living as a foreigner, for God gave this land to Abraham. So he receives the blessing, he goes out and he journeys to Beersheba. So Genesis 28, starting at verse 10, it says, so meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, listen to this, here's where it gets really good. What's more, I am with you and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Take note of verse 14, or verse 15, because we're coming back to that in a little bit. And verse 16 says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. And that's what I believe is the greatest blessing that can happen. So he had this encounter with the living God, right? He had this dream. He had this dream where he saw the Lord at the top of the ladder. And he wakes up the next morning and is like, wow, God is in this place and I did not know it. I did not realize it, and yet he was there all along, right? God is omnipresent, he's everywhere, in every place, at every time, and he just wasn't aware. Likewise with us before we were born again or saved, right? We weren't aware of God's presence. We weren't aware of his nearness. So, and that leads to worship. So he has this encounter, he has this dream, and he has this moment where he encounters the Lord, and he's like, wow, I did not know about this. And so what's the greatest blessing a person can receive, right? What's the greatest favor or gift of God that we can have, right? And I believe it's a right understanding of the Father and who he is.
Yeah.
Because when we get a glimpse of this, when we grasp this truth of the Father's heart and his love for us, we're never the same. Yeah. Look at Jacob. He had this encounter. He's like, wow. And he received the promise. I will be with you. This, I believe, is the greatest blessing we can receive, is the awareness of the nearness and the access we have into the Father's heart at all times, anywhere. And that, I want to share a little bit about the story of Moses, and the second time I'll just paraphrase a little bit, but Moses had a somewhat similar story, right? He has an encounter with the fiery bush, and God says, I have raised you up, go to Egypt, deliver my people. And what happens? Moses protests. He complains. He whines. He says, I'm not qualified. I'm not the man for the God. I'm not the man for the job. I got the wrong guy. And finally, he just comes down to the point. And it's interesting because you see him trying to beat around the bush. And finally, he just comes down to the point and says, why don't you just go and find somebody else? Just go and find anybody else. But I just don't want to do it. And it's interesting, what stuck out to me was, so God never told him, like, yeah, I believe in you. He never told him, you're a good speaker. He never told him, he never told him that. But he never tried to bolster Moses' ego. Instead, what does he say? He says, go, for I'm with you. Go, for I'm with you. Go, because I am who I say I am, and I will do what I say I will do. Right? It's not about our strength, it's not about our ability, it's not about our courage, it's not about us. It's about God saying, I am who I say I am, and I will do what I will do, what I say I will do. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. He's always with us, right? It's interesting, I was reminded, you know, so many times when we strive for something, when we work for it, right, or we believe that we can earn it, and it's so often the same way with the blessing, and we try to earn it, right, but it doesn't work that way with God. It's a gift. The grace of God is a gift. Salvation is a gift. The nearness, even the awareness of His presence is a gift of God, right? And, you know, thinking back to the time in my life, you know, back when I was, before I was born again and saved, and there were times when I'd be driving on the road and I'd see somebody, and somebody that, you know, looked like a mom. Dressed up, completely weird, completely opposite of anything that I thought was right, and I'd be like, dude, get it together. Just get it together already. Like, find a job. Get your life in order already. Try a little harder. You know? Try a little harder. And it's interesting, Jesus never says that. He never tells us to just try a little harder. Instead, what does He say? He says, come a little closer. Come a little closer. Come a little nearer and let me show you the way. Let me enable you. Let me empower you. Let me bless you with the awareness of the nearness of my presence. And you will never be the same. You will never be the same. I just remember in my experience, like, when I first realized that God is present. He's not some abstract dude that's living up in the clouds, or I can't see Him. I can't experience Him. He's just some guy that everybody talks about, but they don't really know. And so, Amy Ward, then Amy Solder, Amy Ward now, was preaching over at an intercourse. And Steve invited me to go along. So I went Friday night, I went Saturday night, and Saturday night was the older fall, right? And so I went up, and this guy comes up behind me and puts his arm around me and starts praying for me. And I had this radical encounter with the love of God. Like, it wasn't like He said anything, it was just He wrapped His arms around me. He wrapped His arms around me like a child. And I repented, I confessed, I rejoiced, I worshipped. And when I got off of that carpet, I knew I was never going to be the same. I had no idea what happened. I had no bridge to explain what was going on, but I knew that there was a higher power, that there was a greater purpose for my life than just wandering around aimlessly. And, you know, we see the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is looking at himself and he says, woe is me, for I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, not worthy to be in your presence. And what happens? The Lord encounters him. The Lord gives him revelation of His glory and of His nearness, and touches his tongue with the throne room, with the coals of the throne room. And Isaiah falls down on his face and proclaims, here am I, send me, Lord. He has a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit, with the living God, and he will never be the same. And so with that, you know, we get the awareness of God's presence, right? He is the creator of heaven and earth. He has made all things. He is interested in every aspect of our lives. So I just want to share with you, turn with me if you want, Psalms 139. 1 to 12. I still remember the first time I read this and the Lord revealed it to me. I was like, wow. So broken, you know. Starting in verse 1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. And there again, the nearness of the Lord. The hand of blessing upon our head. Who is that, huh? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Wow. We serve a magnificent God. Amen?
Amen.
And it's so interesting when we think of God's presence. If he's everywhere, all the time, in every place, and we never have to wait to enter in, right? We never have to wait till Sunday morning. We don't have to wait till the next conference. We don't have to wait till PTS gets denied. Although that's cool, no? But deny in a greater way. We can deny him right now, tonight. In a deeper manner, we can enter into the heart of the Father because Jesus paid a price. Because Jesus made a way. Because Jesus paid the price, we can enter into the throne. So, yeah, and also, you know, there's another story I want to share with you. So earlier this year, I was working at a chicken house, right? And beautiful, beautiful man, spring days. And I'm working in this field. I'm working in a chicken house. I'm working right beside the fans. So not only can I smell everything, I also have this smell flying into my face, right? Miserable. And it's like 2 or 3 weeks of work there. And the first day there, I was a miserable guy. I just seen the next 2 weeks of my life going down the drain. And I was like, this is not what I expected. I was asking questions. I was like, Lord, do you want me to find another job? Is this the sign that I'm supposed to leave? But in that, looking back now, it's one of the best jobs I've done all year. Because in that place of suffering, if you will, like, just getting paid to do it, but still, I started to ask questions. I started to ask God, like, why do you have me here? What's going on? And then I asked him, what do you want me to teach through this? And this is what he taught me. I'm in every place. I'm everywhere. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You can come to me at any time to find rest, find peace, and find my presence. Right? Because he's so near. He's so near and he so wants to invade every aspect of our hearts and our lives. So, and you know, we look at our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering from persecution. If you hear their stories, you see that some of the trials and temptations that they've gone through, some of the trials and suffering that they've gone through, is the very thing that has led them closer to the Father. It's the very thing that has given them, that has enabled them to take that next step with the Lord Jesus. And you know, so not that we should go running after persecution or anything like that, not saying that, but I still don't want to go for another chicken house. I don't want to do that again. But so the world says that a blessing or being blessed comes from your material possessions and your circumstances, right? God says, actually, your material possessions have very little to do with it. It's your awareness of the nearness of my presence. Right? So all this talk about blessing and how do we... So the question that I want to give to all of us is, how do we enter into this greatest of blessings? How do we enter into the nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his Holy Spirit that's in this world, in every place? How do we do that, right? So, and I just want to share with you guys an experience, or not an experience, a story from the Word. So turn with me to Mark chapter 10. So, Mark chapter 10, at the end of the passage. At the end of the passage, we have the story of blind Bartimaeus. And a fascinating story to me. So, Bartimaeus literally means, the meaning of the word means son of Bartimaeus. Or son of Timaeus, right? It's like, I have a child, and I'm like, hey, come over, everybody, and celebrate with me. I've had a child. And I named him Son of Birth. Like, I don't really see a lot of meaning in that. But anyway, so starting at verse 46, I feel like he might have been a guy that was bullied all his life. He was blind. He never had much in material possessions, obviously. He was a beggar. So, starting at verse 46, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. And then the people yelled at him. No one was hearing, right? Shut up, blind Bart. Be quiet. Enough with you, ragged wretch in the corner. You're not good anyway. But he only shouted loud, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man, cheer up, and said, come on, he's calling you. So now we switch sides. Hey, Bart, I'm a good friend of yours, right? So when Jesus calls him, right? And all of a sudden, everybody's buddying up to him. Come on, Bart. And so, come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see and followed Jesus down the road. So there's a couple of things that I want to bring out of this passage. And one of them is, so we have the encounter with the Lord, right? We experience repentance and confession of the faith, and we believe and are saved. And then we become aware of the nearness of Christ's presence, right? What do you do with that? What do you do when you come into Christ's presence? And it's interesting, like, the question he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus said, I want to see. So, and what I want to bring out is, so, how do we receive the blessing? Or how do we enter into the covenant promise of Jesus Christ? And first of all, we believe, right? Bartimaeus believed. Otherwise, he would never cry out. If he did not believe that it might be possible that Jesus would heal his eyesight, he would have never cried out. Instead, he would have said, oh, you humbug over there, you Nazarene. You know? And so, first of all, we believe. And really, anybody who is praying believes, otherwise they wouldn't pray. Right? So it almost looks like it's a naming and claiming faith here, where Jesus says, go, for your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you? I thought Jesus healed you. Yes, but the healing came through the man's faith, or his hope that Jesus might be the one, might be the promised one who would enable him to see. Therefore, he cries out, and he cries out louder yet, because he realizes that a man who might be the Son of God is near, and he does not want to miss his chance like me. So he cries out. And likewise, we can do the same. We can cry out for the blessing, the greatest blessing of God's presence. We cry out, we ask for it, right? We ask for it, we enter in, and we ask for it because Jesus, once again, Jesus paid the price. This is not something we earn. This is not something that we can achieve on our own strength. But instead, it's, yeah, so we ask, right? And another thing that's interesting to me is, so Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed. He tells him to go. What does Bartimaeus do? He follows him. He follows him, right? And this, I believe, is, this is what I want to bring out because I believe it's so powerful, is when we have this encounter, when we receive the blessing, there's a commissioning that comes with that. There's a price to be paid. You know? Bartimaeus had the encounter, saw the glory of the Lord, and left everything. Left his old life, left his comfort, left his worldly blessings and possessions, what little he had. And we see the same, you know, throughout Scripture. Christ enters in. Christ invades a man's heart. And he calls him to himself. And then he commissions him. Go. Even the great commission, you know. Go ye into all the world and make disciples. For I am with you, even until the end of the age. We have his presence, we have his spirit, we have his enabling power. And what are we doing with it? And with great blessing comes a great calling, right? If we want an anointing, we are going to have to lay down our old life, our old loves, our old flames. If we want to enter in into a new level, we're going to have to leave everything behind and journey into the heart of the Father. For some of us, that might mean leaving everything and going into the nations. For some of us, that might mean going to your coworker, like getting measurably out of your comfort zone. And, but yeah. And then also, another scripture I wanted to share with you was Ephesians chapter 4. Back again. How many of us know the flesh is pretty lazy? And earlier this year, God led me to this verse in Hebrews chapter 4. And it says, so we can find grace. We come to the throne of mercy, or the throne of grace, depending on which translation you read, to find grace to help in the time of need. And I came to the realization that no matter how much I strive, no matter how much I try, I'm never going to succeed. It's only when I realize who Jesus is and recognize Him for who He is and receive His power and receive His grace that I'm going to have victory. So I prayed a simple prayer, Lord, let me encounter You tomorrow morning. Give me grace to encounter You tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Wake me up even before my alarm clock. And that's what started to happen. And this has transformed my life for the last half year.
Yeah.
This has transformed my walk with the Lord.
Wow.
This is my glory session in the morning
yeah.
with Jesus. Because there's grace. Because He made a way. Because by His enabling power we can enter in and encounter His presence and be as the Shulamite in the Psalms of Solomon, saying, I have found the one I love, and I'm never going to let Him go. I have found the one that is most beautiful. I have found the one who makes me happy. I have found the one who has no equal, who has no rival, and I'm never going to let Him go. So yeah, that's what I have.
Proclamation of the gospel, blessing of His presence, right? So good. So good. Wow. Wow. I think we're actually going to take some time to minister to each other. And there's this reality that in the body of Christ, we're called to minister to each other. We have what it takes to pray for each other, to prophesy of each other. And because every message, every time the Word of God is preached, right, it should be activated. It should be acted upon. And I believe that the body of Christ, when it responds to the Word being preached, it activates something inside of us that actually changes us, that actually brings us to the next step, right, in the journey. So we're just really going to take some time to pray for each other. And very specifically, we're just going to pray that the Lord would increase our awareness of His presence, right? That the Lord would increase our awareness of His presence, and that we would access that grace that Merv was talking about. We would access the grace that actually changes us, transforms us, enables us to walk this out. So I think we just break up into groups of two or three. So all across the room, we just begin to break up into groups of two or three and just begin to pray over each other, lay hands on each other, and just declare that the people you're praying for, they would be activated and they would be made aware of the presence of God. So you can, like I said, we're the body of Christ. We have what it takes to see this activated in each other. So just find one or two people and just begin to pray that, begin to declare that. So Father, I just pray right now, God, all across this room, as people pray, Lord, I'm asking that You would quicken our spirits. I'm asking God that our hearts would be awakened to the beauty of Your presence. I'm asking God that all of this room begin to encounter Your love, Your power. I thank You, God, for the body of Christ. I thank You, God, that as we step into Your grace, our lives are transformed. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Even now, God, our hearts would be open, God. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
grace of God is touching his heart in that place.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord, all across this room, God, we want to access your grace. Make us aware of your presence, God. Lord, just like the last part of the nation, we say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Open our eyes, we want to see. Open our ears, we want to hear. Open our hearts, we want to know you, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
I really need to go deeper. I really need a community I need to run with.
There is. So we have a network of small groups, of community groups that meet every other week. And yeah, there's this open invitation for anyone that wants to engage with that, to connect to those groups. Basically, we meet in homes. You know, we spend time worshiping together. We spend time praying together. We spend time sharing and testifying together. And it really is a safe, open, welcoming context where maybe that's even the thought of that is a little bit overwhelming to you, but there's a hunger in you for that. We just really want to invite you into those groups. So just practically, in order to do that, there's a number of group leaders here tonight. So if you're a group leader, I'm going to have you stand up right now. So just stand up if you're a group leader. Yes. So there's a number of group leaders. So there's 5 different groups, but basically look around a little bit, and if you want to connect with one of these groups, if you want to grow in that context, there's so many stories and testimonies of what the Lord is doing in that. We believe it's so powerful, right? So you can talk to any one of the people that are standing up about joining their group. My wife and I are leading the group as well, so you can talk to me or Crystal. So just take a little bit of a look around, and like I said, really encourage you, if you're feeling like you want to engage with Ranch Community in a deeper way, or even just have a season of growth and discipleship, connect with one of these groups. So thank you, leaders, so much. You guys can see that. Thanks a lot. So I want to extend that invitation. And then secondly, also just very practically, there's not a lot of financial need in terms of what we're doing, but there's still a few things, like we have a snack, and we obviously rent this place and things like that. So if you want to invest financially, there's a donation box in the back. It will need to be by cash or by check. We don't have a 501c3 set up yet, so the check, you can make a check out to Dave Smoker. He's taking care of the finances for us up to this point. So just like I said, practically, I don't want to present it so much as a need, as I want to say simply, if this is an opportunity that you want to take to invest in what the Lord is doing in Branch Community, I invite you to that opportunity. So let it live that. And then, last but not least, just want to announce that. So we'll transition, and then we'll have a time of fellowship. There's an amazing snack in the back. You guys are welcome to stay, hang out until 10 o'clock, when we need to actually clear the building out and clean up because of the alarm. And so, until 10 o'clock, I encourage you to stay, have some great food, have a great time of fellowship, and really just want to bring to our awareness, like, this is often one of the most powerful times of the night, is this time of fellowship. If we're intentional in our conversations, if we're intentional in the way that we interact with each other, it's just an ongoing ministry where the Lord moves in powerful ways, right? So I want to encourage you in that, even in this time. You know, have a great time. It's always fun. It gets super loud in here. But just be aware, what's the Holy Spirit nudging you? Maybe to reach out to that person, maybe to connect with someone new, maybe to pray for someone. So I'm just going to pray for that time. I'm going to bless the food, and then you guys are released. So, Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your manifest presence. Thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that as we fellowship together, that you would continue to move in power, to open our hearts to what you want to do. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.